Yo, man. So welcome to the, for now, at least, final episode of Smarkamania. So tonight is the night of WWE Battleground 2015. I was going to go to Jason's place with our friend Ben and watch it and do a review. But I don't sound so bad, but I have a sore throat. I got a real bad sore throat. One of those things where I felt it a little bit yesterday and then I just woke up today and it's like, blah, terrible. And I mean, I might be able to sort of fucking power through it, but I've got to be contagious. I mean, this shit just hit real bad this morning. It would just be a bad idea. And it's one of those things like when you've got a cold or something, like just no energy. So yeah, it sucks, but I had to miss our final wrestling blowout. Kind of a shame. I hope that I'm sort of healed in, I'm leaving in a couple of days to go to Vancouver. That's why this is the final episode for now. I'm moving out west, see what fortunes fucking await me out there. And man, yeah, I hope I don't have like some kind of hacking cough while I'm on a huge long flight. Buh. Anyway, I guess what happens, happens. Sorry, this is such a fucking germ downer. But luckily, even though we didn't have time to do one last episode of Smarkamania, there is still one in the can that we recorded last week. So that's what I'm going to put out right now as the final Smarkamania episode. And it's kind of appropriate because we started with old WCW. We started with Great American Bash 2000, which in hindsight was actually one of the better year 2000 WCW pay-per-views. We finished with Halloween Havoc 2000, which was not one of the greatest WCW pay-per-views. So yeah, we recorded this review while we were watching Raw, like just during downtimes in Raw, which at a 3-hour running length, turns out there's quite a few. So yeah, we squeezed in this review, and this is gonna be it for now. I don't think we're going to try to do anything long distance or whatever. I'm sure someday in the future I'll come back to Ontario and we'll resurrect Smarkamania. For the meantime, though, this has been a fucking pretty cool podcast, I think. This has been a really weird year of my life, hence where I'm like, I don't really know what the fuck I'm doing with myself, so I'm going to go try moving out west. But a definite fucking up point to this year has been Smarkamania. It's just been super fun doing a wrestling podcast. Reacquainting myself with wrestling, remembering how much I like it, me and Jason hanging out more, just good times. Jason's going to wrestling school now. Theoretically, at some point in the future, he's gonna wrestle a match, son. I'm gonna see if I can come back for that shit. So yeah, it's cool, man. Cool stuff happened. And just as a fucking wrestling spectator, to see the rise of Kevin Owens, man, that's pretty neat. Pretty fucking neat shit. All right, so thank you for listening. God bless wrestling and all of the wrestlers who wrestle it. May all of their broken bones and sore necks and arthritis and terrible quality of life, let them all know that we appreciate it. And I don't know if it was worth it. You know, if you're some guy who can barely walk, maybe wrestling wasn't worth it, but we sure do fucking find it entertaining, man. We sure do like it. So thank you. Thank you to all wrestlers from us, the non-wrestlers, pending. Eventually one of us will be a wrestler. Okay, I gotta stop rambling because my throat is fucking killing me. Again, thanks for listening, and here is Halloween Havoc 2000, the final Smarkamania for now. All right, do you want to start us off, or should I?
Hello and welcome to Smarkomania episode 23.
I think so. Yeah, so this was our weird thing where we were like, you know what? We got to at least get Smarkomania to episode 20.
Yeah.
And then we realized we did that already.
Yeah, it's well over that. We're actually on 23. And we also kept making the joke that we're going to do Halloween Havoc. And boy, did we pick a Halloween Havoc to do, because it was the year 2000. WCW is like waning.
Yeah, I mean, you tried to save us. You're like, oh, look, we could do 96, we could do 97. And I was like, yeah, but we gotta do 2000. And yeah, here we are.
Oh, here we are. And boy, what a card it was.
I was listening too, so we're squeezing in podcast recordings during commercial breaks of Raw, just because whatever, man. Fuck WCW.
Yeah. So I guess on this commercial break, we'll probably get through the first couple matches, because nothing really happened. The whole night, though, the main theme of the show was the main event is the World Heavyweight Champion Booker T versus Scott Steiner. And the whole night, we're waiting to find out if Goldberg is cleared to wrestle, because on Thunder, he like went to spear one of the members of Chronic, missed, and hit his head on the ring post. So the whole night we're waiting, oh, is Goldberg going to be able to wrestle? Is he going to be able to continue the streak? And the weird thing is I thought the streak was well over at this point.
Yeah, because this is toward the end of 2000, right? Like Halloween, yeah. So it's fucking weird. And do you notice too how often when we watch these things, they cut back to what happened on Thunder? And I was like, are they trying to push Thunder? But it's probably that they didn't have any storyline going into the pay-per-view until Thunder. And they just made it up at the last second.
A lot of times back then, SmackDown and Thunder were the go-home shows for pay-per-views. Nowadays, like, SmackDown isn't really a go-home show because it's filmed on Tuesday. It's just a continuation of Raw. And Raw is the go-home event. And SmackDown is more of a, like, a reiteration of what happened on Raw. But back then, like, those, like, the Thursday night shows, they were a big deal.
Man, you know what's funny I've noticed about SmackDown lately, too, is you know how they'll test things on house shows to see if it works, like tag teams and stuff? They've been doing, maybe this stuff originated still at house shows, but stuff will happen on SmackDown, cause sometimes I tune in because I'm bored, that then happens on Raw. Like, they try out Bo Dallas with the New Day, and they're like, okay, that was cool, put it on Raw. It's like SmackDown, like, doesn't even happen. It's just like this, like, stage rehearsal for Raw.
Yeah, but it's not as bad as Main Event, which is literally just like two nothing matches that aren't even canon. It's not as bad as Superstars, which literally isn't canon, but
yeah, Superstars is even worse than Main Event because it has double the recaps. Like, Main Event is at least wrestling.
Yeah, exactly. So, oh my god, I can't. The first match is a three-way dance for the Tag Team Championship. The champions, Sean O'Hare and Mark Jindrak, taking on the Boogie Knights, which of course is Alex Wright and Disco Inferno. Alex Wright was Berlin at this time, but he switched back to his dancing gimmick, probably because The Wall, his tag partner, became like the Berlin Wall fell, and he became a member of the American AWOL, or yeah, the American
Major General AWOL, Corporal Sergeant. I don't remember their ranks.
Yeah, for the Misfits in Action. And two members of the Filthy Animals, Rey Mysterio and Billy Kidman.
Hey, what's GI? Is that like General Infantry, or what does GI mean? What is GI, bro?
I don't know. Is it General Infantry?
I don't know. I just made that up. I have no idea.
That makes the most sense. So, basically in this match...
Wait, what's bro? That's brother, right?
Yeah. Because he's black. So, a couple of things I just kind of jotted down about this match. Mysterio did, like, this... Like, he charged up like a bull. Like, because he had his little horns. It was that time in wrestling. He charges up like a bull and tries to jump on, I think it was Disco, into the corner, and just totally like met a foot to the groin, like in midair. I thought that was an interesting point, as well as another point where Mark Jindrak and Sean O'Hare pick up Kidman on the outside of the ring and throw him and clear the rope into the ring. Other than that, nothing really happened. And surprisingly enough, Sean O'Hare wins with a really nice swanton.
Yeah, that was really, really good. Also, I liked when the show started, their little opening package was definitely better than usual. Not great, but sort of Halloween-y and kind of cool.
Yeah.
But then they'd use their Halloween jizz font for the whole night.
Definitely jizz font. In that there was a part where there was a, well, I'll get to it, but there was a countdown and it was just, it looked really weird. So AWOL comes out to help the filthy animals, and Conan gets beaten down during all of this because Conan was out there with the filthy animals. But what immediately happens is it turns into AWOL just stays out there, and referees come out and line the ring with garbage cans filled with items.
Yeah, it was almost festive. They're like hanging them at each corner in a garbage can.
So he takes on the hardcore champion Reno. Where the fuck Reno is. Basically a standard hardcore match. They wrestle to the back, as usual, which was standard fare for the time. A funny thing, I think it was...
It was acceptable in the 2000s. Yeah.
A really funny quote from one of the commentators. I think it was the big fat guy. I always know the internet would kill wrestling, but the internet is killing Reno! After...
smashing him into like a table.
AWOL picked up a clearly fake monitor.
Yeah, that was it.
And bashed him with it. Like one of those old, like giant monitors.
Yeah, because if you ever had to, man, I got, somebody gave me, it was weird. It was right when those big monitors were turning into flat ones. So it was a widescreen monitor, but the old big ones, it was the heaviest thing I ever had to carry home. It was so fucking heavy.
Like worse than like an old TV almost.
Because, yeah, because it's like more in it. It's not as empty.
Yeah, exactly. So the next thing we see is a weird like backstage interview that said earlier today. And during that, like, beatdown, Chuck Palumbo and Sean Stasiak came out, and then suddenly they showed the back where the filthy animals, I guess they were not in that group, but they were aligned with them or something, but they were in street clothes, and we're sitting here going, how are they in street clothes? And then suddenly it said earlier today...
Yeah, because it's like they had the street clothes, but O'Hare and his partner had the belts they had just won. So yeah, it was like in this Twilight Zone. So I'm guessing they probably did film that earlier, right? And then somebody realized that it didn't line up at all and was like, throw up the earlier today.
Yeah.
Even though that happened 10 minutes ago.
And then immediately after that, Palumbo and Stasiak come back out to fight Lash LaRue or Corporal fucking...
If it's not Private Stash, I don't even give a shit.
And Chavo Guerrero. And the MIA win that. So Lash LaRue and Chavo Guerrero win a match. And I don't even remember anything about it because it was just wrestling. It was just standard wrestling. There wasn't really much to it.
Man, I would love to make like a name generator for members of MIA. You could just be like General Titliker.
Yeah.
It's like whatever. Who gives a shit?
Sergeant Bullshit. Yeah. After that, there's this other storyline playing out where the franchise comes out with Tori Wilson. She's of course dressed like Wonder Woman, which was great.
That was great. That was really good.
And then Tigress comes out, who's this other female wrestler. I guess she was supposed to be with Conan. The reason why I even brought it up, I would have just skipped over that whole thing, but he got beaten up so bad in that altercation at the very beginning that he, I guess, couldn't wrestle. So the franchise and Tori Wilson are making fun of Tigress, and they kind of have a back and forth. And then Conan ends up coming out, and he's fine now. So all of that was for naught. Sort of a foreshadowing of the end of the night. And it turns out this was supposed to be a mixed tag team match. The only thing of note that I noticed was Conan totally did a Rolling Thunder, and they call it a Rolling Thunder Lariat, but it was totally just the like RVD's Rolling Thunder.
It was like surprisingly though, like not that bad a match. Like when Tori Wilson comes out dressed like Wonder Woman, and then the big surprise, like late entrant, is Conan. I'm like, well, this is all the worst. But it was like it was okay,
except for the stupidest like series of events I've ever seen in wrestling. Tigress does a Bronco Buster, she's going to do it to Tori Wilson. But right before she can do it, Tori Wilson pulls down Charles Robinson, the referee, of course, and Tigress does the Bronco Buster to Charles Robinson. She does about four of the bounces before she realizes she's doing it to the ref and not Tori Wilson.
He's like, that doesn't feel like Tori Wilson's face against my cooch.
And then gets up, and Charles Robinson just gets right up, and he's like, I'm the referee. Like, he just completely no-sells it.
He's energized by it.
Yeah, it was truly, truly terrible. And did I even write down who won that?
Who did win that? Conan won, right? Conan and Tigress?
Oh, right, yeah, because they're the good guys. And it's really, that was the style of the time. Good guys won everything. But then we get a backstage bit with David Flair.
If anyone won, if it wasn't just a big DQ ending, yeah. Which was the real style of the time.
Yeah, no, absolutely. We get a bit in the back with David Flair. I guess on another episode it started, you know, Stacy Keibler was pregnant. She wasn't on this card at all. But I guess Buff Bagwell was claiming that he's the father, and David Flair was like, I'm going to get your DNA tonight. And so then we find out he's fighting Buff Bagwell. Buff Bagwell comes out and says he's the dad.
I love, though, like, even though there's kind of a legit reason to have, like, David Flair had these two doctors with him because they're doing a blood test, and that's the whole thing, is they got to draw some blood to get this blood sample. But when, was it Mean Gene? Whoever's interviewing him is like, so what's with the doctors? He's like, don't worry about that.
Yeah. It's
like, you have a reason they're here. You could explain. I love, too, that David Flair is worse than when just random people do Ric Flair impressions. Yeah. They're better at promos than David Flair is. If I did a Ric Flair right now, it'd be better than David Flair.
Yeah. I'm better than David Flair. So yeah, David Flair comes out with his syringes and puts them down. Turns out this was, of course, a match with Buff Bagwell and David Flair. One of the commentators says that this is the civilized way of saying it's a first blood match. What would end up happening is Buff Bagwell wins, because obviously a wrestler is going to beat a fucking just dude. And Lex Luger inexplicably comes out to celebrate with Buff, but then turns on him. And Buff's mouth gets busted open. And David Flair comes over and, like, sticks what, like, you know, like
a
microscope.
Microscope, there you go.
One of those, like, glass things that you put things in for a microscope.
Oh, like a slide.
Yeah, a slide. He just brings the slide over and scrapes Buff's mouth and starts ranting. But when the camera pans to his face, he has bladed, and he has a crimson mask.
Just blood everywhere. Yeah.
So I don't know if the stipulation was literally it was a first blood match, and we just missed the blood part or what, but he definitely was like, my dad's going to wear a crimson mask, so I'm going to wear a crimson mask.
Oh, remember he did the flare flop, and it was, he fucked that up? He did it so bad.
Oh, yeah, the flare flop, where he tried to do it authentically, where he, like, took a few swings at the air and flopped, but he didn't fall straight down like Ric Flair does, so, it, like, all of the tension and the power goes to his whole body. He just fell directly onto his shoulder.
Yeah, it was bad. Man, it's weird with Buff Bagwell, too, where he comes out and he's a big douche, and I'm like, I think I like him. I like that he's such a big douche. But then he's such a douche that I'm like, oh, what a douche.
Yeah.
It's a thin line of being an arrogant heel and just being a douche.
He also didn't have his hat with his face airbrushed under the top of it. So after that, Goldberg shows up.
Oh, I love that part where, because he's not medically cleared. Just because, like, it's such a big deal these days about concussions. And if people are hurt, they really take them off stuff where they didn't in the 2000s. And they're like, so Goldberg, like, the doctor's like, how you been feeling? And he's like, this is when a pay-per-view, Sunday, right? So he's like, I've been, like, dizzy since, like, Monday, but it's fine. And it's like, that's a serious concussion.
Like, so you better fight two guys later. Anyway, we'll get to that whole mess. And it's also funny because Goldberg shows up as David Flair's running through the back with this, like, thing with a little bit of blood on it, going, I got the DNA.
Oh, yeah, that's when Goldberg first arrived. Yeah. And he's just like, I can't believe this is my job. Like, I work at this dumb place.
This guy's running around with some blood on a little piece of glass. So then we get a nonsensical promo from Steiner, and they didn't show it yet, but Steiner's gimmick and his real life gimmick were the same. Because he's just going crazy beating up everybody backstage. And really, he was living the gimmick, brother. And, so after that, a lot more confusing than anything that happened previously. We got this guy called Mike Saunders. I guess he's in the Filthy Animals. He was holding a title that I can only imagine is the United States or the television title. But this is not what that was for. I guess he was in a feud with Ernest Miller over who's a better kickboxer, which means that this Mike Sanders guy is probably like a kickboxer, some sort of MMA guy.
But he was really little.
He was a really little dude. He was terrible on the mic. He didn't really have a great, like, wrestler body. So naturally they have a kickboxing match. And he had Chuck Palumbo and Sean Stasiak. I'm just realizing how much they were on this pay-per-view, like, just all over it for some reason.
They did a lot of that of, like, yeah, people would show up and come back. Like, yeah. Shane Douglas did came back. Conan was in something, came back. Yeah, like, they reused a lot of people.
Jeff Jarrett, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it was super fake. And I guess at one point, Shane Douglas comes back out and gives Mike Sanders, like, some sort of gimmick so he ends up winning, even though Ernest the Cat Miller used to legitimately be a kickboxer, which is probably why they were trying to showcase this, because the cat kind of sucks as a wrestler, but he's a great, like, martial artist.
Yeah, this was how, like, I'm like, how can I be less interested in an Ernest Miller match? And like, oh, they found the way. Yeah. Here it is.
So, yeah, the next thing was what you were talking about, where Goldberg is talking to his doctor, and his doctor's like, I can't clear you.
He's just like, you know, I'm kind of, my skin's a little yellow, I'm bleeding from the anus, I throw up all the time, but I'm fine.
I fell asleep last night and died.
Yeah. Yeah, I was medically dead for 10 minutes this morning, but I'm fine.
Yeah, no, it was bad. You know, like, there's not much more I can say about it.
This whole thing.
Oh, this whole thing. Like, worse than Gab 2000. Like, worse than...
You know what's funny? Yeah, like, Gab 2000 is what we kicked things off with, and we're like, now that's the high watermark of bad. But looking back, that was one of the more entertaining, crazy... Like, that's crazy WCW at its best. Where this is just dumb
this
shit.
This is like, everybody knows that the company's going out of business. The fans are, like, half in it. Like, the fans wish that they were at WWE almost, is what it feels like.
Yeah, that's one of my favorite signs of all time, is a guy at a Nitro that had a sign that said, wait, this isn't Raw. It's so good.
So, the next match is That 70s Guy, Mike Awesome, versus Vampiro. So, Vampiro gets in and he tries to cut a promo where he's basically saying, you know, Mike Awesome, tomorrow night on Nitro, you have a title match. Let's make this for that number one contender slot. But instead he says, you know, tomorrow night, we all know you have a match for the title. They don't ever say what title it's for. Yeah. So why don't we make it so you and I fight for that number one contender, which would mean that if I beat you, I get that shot for the title that you're going to fight for tomorrow on Nitro. Like, he just botched whatever promo. And then you think Mike Awesome, the professional, like, veteran wrestler, would come back and be like, yeah, that's fine. He's like, yeah, so tomorrow night, whoever wins this match, then they become the number one contender, which means that if you beat me, then I become... then you're the number one contender.
Like, he probably should have said no, but he confused himself so much that he said yes.
He just said so many things that... But this match was actually pretty good because they're both decent workers. And
and that's the one where they were brawling up the aisle and some fan leaps on Mike Awesome's back and, like, gives him a couple hits, and Mike Awesome and Vampiro and security all just start laying the boots to this guy.
It's this great moment where two wrestlers are fighting and they're in the middle of a match, and you just see this fan jump on, I think it was Mike Awesome, and he gets thrown off. And then they both turn and just start beating the shit out of, like, just a normal guy.
And how it all goes from fake hits to real hits. Yeah. And then as the camera was panning away, I'm pretty sure one of the security guys was still stomping this guy. Yeah. It was just a skinny idiot. Like, it was ridiculous.
I think it had something to do with one of them took the cane of a fan. Like, mm-hmm. They took a cane and they were just like, I'm gonna use this cane. But so, clearly the fan wasn't a plant, because the fan then thought, hey, I'm in this match now. It's kind of like this, I think it was on either CCW or ROH. I think it was like Shelton Benjamin or something, and he goes, he like motions to a fan, and what he meant was throw me a chair, but the fan goes and gets halfway over the barricade, and the wrestler who called for the chair is like, what are you doing? I want a chair.
It's like when somebody waves at a person that's behind you, yeah. And you think they're waving at you, like, yeah, get in the ring, buddy. Like,
come on. It's your big opportunity. Your one chance.
Yeah, that'd be like the David Arquette fucking Ready to Rumble shit. Like, that's like in that guy's head. He's like, wouldn't it be great if I got called into the ring somehow? And then he's like, it's happening.
Oh, man. There was a good spot where they had a chair sword fight. Pretty cool. That was pretty fun. And Mike Awesome ends up winning with a top rope awesome bomb that from some angles looked great, but from other angles looked like they both took it wrong.
That's like, if you notice nowadays in WWE, when they do replays, they do the cool slow motion, but they go into normal speed at the end.
Yeah.
That's what they should have done here, because you got to see Vampiro's awkward landing where his head snaps back in slow mo, like three times.
His head snapped back, he landed on one shoulder, and I'm actually going to wrestling school now, and you have to slap the mat when you take a bump, like with both hands. It's just distributes the shock, like, you know, and that's really what it's for.
Right.
And he didn't. He landed on one. It's like the Flair flop from earlier. When the way Ric Flair falls is he's taking on both shoulders and the side of his neck, and Vampiro's head like bounced, and he only hit one shoulder. And then when they cut back from the like replays, I think I don't want to sound like Julia, but the referees were legitimately like helping him up. You know, like, I think that he might have taken that fucked up just based on the way that it looked.
We did get to watch it in slow-mo. Yeah. Yeah, it didn't look pretty.
I mean, it could have just been kayfabe. It could have just been to make it look more powerful, but it looked legitimately brutal.
So this worked out pretty well so far, where all that's happened on Raw is a Big Show and Ryback match and then a Bellas match. So we're doing pretty good, but I think the John Cena Open Challenge is coming up soon. We might have to take a break when that starts.
Yeah, definitely.
Until then, what's next? Can we get through one more of these?
We can definitely get through one more, because we're at Lance Storm and Hacksaw with Major Guns, who are now Team Canada.
So it did remind me, I still love Lance Storm. Love him. So good.
And he was great in this, because he definitely did the allow me to be serious for a moment.
And that's really all he needs. Like, he's with Canada, he's got one funny catchphrase, and he's a cool wrestler. There you go.
Yeah. And it was a great, great match. He took on General Erection. And actually, that's something I didn't write down about earlier, but when Tony Schiavone was kind of running down the matches, he said General Erection like he was serious.
Yeah.
And it was... awful.
I'm a professional broadcaster. Yeah.
And of course, later on tonight, General Erection takes on the team of Lance Storm and Hacksaw. And it was just like, say General Erection in a serious way?
Yeah, that's where it should have been, like, General Erection, that'll put asses in seats.
Yep, so the only thing that I really noted here, like, Hacksaw was hamming it up, and Lance Storm was a brilliant technical wrestler. The ref...
Major Guns has a crazy body.
Oh, she has giant boobies. So the ref gets knocked out at one point, and then Hacksaw...
Oh, look at this, we're good. Roman Reigns versus Sheamus up next.
Holy
fuck. Yeah, we're good, let's just keep going.
This is fine. Whatever. Fuck. I'm watching Game of Thrones right now, and Jason Momoa, Khal Drogo, is fucking... It's Roman Reigns. Except for if he was the leader of this giant, like, hilarious crew of savages.
Oh,
anyway.
Because I didn't see much.
Yeah, he's like the king of the savages, right. And they're off on another continent.
Yeah, you're right, he is. That's cool.
But every time I see Jason Momoa, I'm like, fucking, that's Roman Reigns right there. Slightly better looking Roman Reigns. better wrestler body Roman Reigns.
Yeah, oh, that's one thing is just like slightly weird, as I was watching some FCW, because some guy uploaded a shitload of them on YouTube, and seeing Roman Reigns as leaky with no shirt on, it's weird. He just looks weird with that.
He's got great arms, but his chest is fucking like, he doesn't have like wrestler body as much as you think that he would.
Yeah, the Shield gimmick really works for him, like as an excuse to have a top on, but not just a t-shirt.
Yeah, maybe he's got like the Kofi thing where he can't put on pecs.
Yeah.
But so anyway, back to the match. There's this moment where the ref gets knocked out and Hacksaw does this fucking dirty pile driver to General Erection. So the ref, like, gets up and, like, goes to count. And, of course, Bill DeMott, General Erection, kicks out. And when he kicks out, he knocks Hacksaw back on to the ref, knocking him out again. And what ends up happening is Major Guns ends up helping out General Erection, because I guess she used to be in MIA.
Right.
And also, a black dude ran out, but we didn't see his face, so we couldn't tell who it was. And Schiavone says, it's crime time! And I was like, that's weird. Crime time doesn't actually exist in WWE for many years later.
Yeah, did he say maybe it was prime time? Would that be a name?
No, I think it was Elijah Burke. I think Elijah Burke was just starting out at that point.
It's funny because there was that where he ran down and we didn't even see his face before he got beat down. That reminds me of going back to Conan real quick. That was great where he ran in to help Tigress, but he slid into the ring and immediately got the shit beat out of him.
Started getting beat down.
And then it became a real match, but that was awesome. I've never seen someone fail so bad at a run-in.
Yeah. Well, the psychology there, of course, is he was beat up from before, I guess.
Yeah, so I guess it makes sense. But it was still funny. Like, he just, because he slid into the ring, so he's already on the floor. He didn't even get to be dropped. He's just on the floor, yeah. And he stays on the floor.
So, yeah, Major Guns helps Hugh G. Erection get the win, and he takes the Canadian title off of Lance Storm. But since it was a two-on-one match for the Canadian title, Lance Storm wasn't pinned. Right. So I guess that storyline continues on into oblivion because the company folded like a month later.
Yeah, like Lance Storm got to be commissioner, and then 3 weeks later he wasn't, and then yeah. And then everyone's out of a job, whatever.
Yeah. So Shivani tells us we have 3 matches left, and he clearly has defeat in his voice. Remember that moment?
Yeah, because yeah, he said it's supposed to be like, hey, 3 more matches, everybody, but it's like, we're gonna do this. We can make it. Yeah, 3 more.
We can do this together if you just stick with us. We know you paid $60. I mean, if you think about it, I paid about $1 for us to watch that. If you really think about how much of the network I watched, that was like $1, and I feel like we paid too much.
And this was the weirdness too of these 3 more matches is then it's 2 matches that could have been main events instead of the main event that was not a main event.
Yeah. And also this is when the pay-per-view actually it piqued our interest. It got kicked up a little bit. Unfortunately, what they decided to do with it, so the next match is Jeff Jarrett and Sting, and this is like the precursor to their 6-year-long TNA feud. You know, this is where it starts.
Yeah,
because
it's weird. Yeah, it's like TNA is happening. Like, yeah. The origin. That's
great. Like, Jeff Jarrett is making fun of Sting for his old gimmick, I guess, is the lead up to it. So they have a match for whatever reason. Then so many Sting imposters.
Yeah, I think they did get better as it went, but they all were pretty bad.
Yeah.
But especially the first couple were just like, yeah, so Surfer Sting comes down, except he's a big monster mongoloid version that sucked.
And then a second, like, Surfer era just after when he wore, like, the band, like, the Bret Hart style. Basically the Bret Hart version of the Surfer Sting.
Right.
And then
Sergeant Pepper Surfer Sting.
Yeah. And then the Wolfpack Sting comes down to Wolfpack music.
Which, like, didn't that happen for like a week or a day? How long? Wolfpack Sting was barely a thing, wasn't it?
No, it was a little while. Like, okay. Wolfpack, when the NWO split up, the NWO feuded with each other with the Wolfpack and the Black and White for a while. It was basically like half the NWO decided to be face. So Sting was like, oh, you guys are good guys? I'm a good guy. I can hang with you. And then they probably turned their back on him because you don't turn your back on the Wolfpack. You might wind up in a body bag.
I guess it just seemed weird because it was Surfer Sting was like years and years.
Yeah,
and
then like 92. So he keeps taking the imposter Stings up to the stage to give them the Scorpion Death Drop almost as a like, nail in the coffin, you're done. So another Sting comes up from under the ring, through the ring, drags Sting under the ring, and...
Yeah, that's great too, Rick, because when something that severe happens, usually that's it. Like, that's the match is over, but Sting just beat the guy up and just crawled back out.
Well, yeah, they both reemerge with the real Sting bringing the imposter under the ring Sting. Fucking please just try to stay with me on this. And the under the ring Sting is just busted open now, which was great. Busted open on the nose. So what do? He went under there and punched him in the face, or he just, like spilt fake blood all over his nose. And, another Sting comes down from the rafters.
Right.
Who had a really bad fake mask on. Or fake wig on.
Yeah, yeah, he lost his wig immediately. And it was awesome. The fan is holding up like, I got the wig! And yeah. That's when you realize this is just like a balding guy.
So Sting murders bald rafter Sting through the through the announce table. And under ring Sting hits Sting with a guitar. And Sting goes for the death lock. And another Sting helps Jarrett get the win.
That's awesome.
All the while, they never said anything about this being a no disqualification match. Yeah. The referee was just allowing various different Stings to come in and attack Sting.
Oh, yeah, and this was the ref who had the little goatee that almost looked like that Reno guy.
Yeah.
And that's when, yeah, like, you can't have a too cool ref. You can't have a ref with cool facial hair. Like, just be a normal guy, ref. Well, that's, you get these party refs, they let anything happen. You know, it's like,
that's how they, I think, they were talking about it at wrestling class on Sunday. It's like, yesterday, that's how they sort of determine out of the, like, trainees who are going to be the referees for different cards.
Like, who can blend in?
Yeah, because you can't, like, you can't be, you can't look like the Undertaker and be a referee.
Right.
I mean, even on this card, like, Scott Armstrong has giant arms. Like, it looked, he just looked a little off. You can't be more than 5'10", I think, to be a referee.
That's what I always thought, is I'm like, you know, I would fit better as a ref than as a wrestler, but I, like, am taller than some wrestlers, yeah. So it would be a problem.
Yeah, no, that's, well, what they would do is they'd put you in with two super heavyweights.
Yeah, yeah, I guess I don't have to ref every match, I guess.
I guess. So at this point, we see Chronic in the back saying, like, Goldberg didn't make it. You lose.
Okay, yeah, but isn't this amazing that we thought we'd have to keep taking breaks, but we might finish this whole podcast before anything useful happens on Raw? I just think that's awesome.
No, this is going to be one of our shorter ones. Instead of being a State of the Raw address, me talking about my wrestling school experience, we're just going to blow right through this.
Yeah.
So at this point, the Chronic is like, well, he didn't show up, he's got to take his loss, this is it. But Booker T, being the good guy he is, he just goes to the ring. He's like, we're doing this now. And naturally, Scott Steiner's like, no, I'm the fucking main event. So he starts beating up a guy behind the scenes who's just really, you know, basically part of the production team. He just starts beating him down. And it's really hilarious because this is supposed to be the main event. Michael Buffer comes out and everything and does the whole, let's get ready to rumble. And
it's funny too that Steiner's the one who's pissed, not the champ Booker T, who should also be pissed that he's not main event.
Yeah, but I mean, Booker T, super face, Steiner, super heel.
Yeah, man, I love that though. Like, that's where WWE, they really have a problem with keeping things a little too on the level, and they don't want to just have crazy stuff happen. Because, like, when Steiner was in WWE, it was one of the most boring periods I've ever seen in wrestling. I saw live Triple H Scott Steiner 2 in Montreal, and it was fucking awful. But if they would just have the balls to make Steiner be crazy when he was there, it would have been great. Or, like, when NWO came in to WWE, they should have just cleaned house, but WWE's, like, scared. They don't want to push anybody that hard.
They really want to make all the old WCW guys look bad. Like, it's why Sting didn't, like, Sting could have got a sweet deal and gone to WWE, but he knew what would have happened. They probably would have made him dance.
Yeah, and he's not wrong.
Yeah, they would have made him a comedy gimmick, or they would have,
like, nobody, even Goldberg, nobody did well. And it's like,
they would have done with Sting what they did with DDP and made him, like, a creepy stalker for Undertaker's wife.
And DDP had one of the better runs, and it sucked. Yeah, like, let's make DDP a bad guy. Why not?
Yeah, like, even though he was literally, like, The Rock is almost a ripoff of Diamond Dallas Page.
Yeah.
Ugh. So many bad decisions. But yeah, this is for the WCW World Heavyweight Championship. It's supposed to be the main event, but really what the commentators were playing up the fact that Booker T made the decision. He's going to give his buddy Goldberg a little bit more time to see if the doctors are going to clear him.
Shake off that concussion.
I feel like if you're going to show up at the event, you're going to show up to the event and the doctors are going to either clear you or not clear you. So you don't have to waste your whole night hanging out at this and not just be at home resting. Like, no, you have to be here stressed out all night, whether or not you're allowed to wrestle.
People are running around covered in blood, carrying slides and Buff Bagwell's spit. Like.
Yeah. So this was a great match. It was a classic, like, WCW World Heavyweight Championship. There was a funny part where Steiner tries to fight a fan, you know, but he doesn't really, he kayfabe fought a, like, he gets into the, like, corner of the barricade and just starts pointing, and everybody's kind of looking around at each other like, who's he pointing at? And then he jumps the barricade, and then nothing really comes of him. He comes back. And I thought that was funny.
And this was, too, like, those people that still held on and were WCW fans at this point. Like, this was the kind of thing. Like, it's still just two big muscly guys, and it's a pretty dumb match. But it had that excitingness of it's two big muscly guys. You know?
It felt like a wrestling. A lot of the other matches on this card just felt like, what is the point of any of this?
And it was actually nice that it didn't have crazy gimmicks and shit. It was just two guys wrestling, and it was kind of good. It was okay.
Yep. So, it was a great match up until Diner just destroys to start murdering referees.
Right.
He just, out of nowhere, just takes the ref out, and a new ref runs in, who he immediately fights, and then a third ref comes in, and instead of, like, continuing on as a ref, he just throws the match out.
Oh, on the plus side, though, remember I joked at the beginning when it was, like, the tag belts change hands, and I was like, let's see if there's any belt that doesn't change hands tonight. And the only reason this match, the only reason Booker retained is because of a DQ finish. So it was a bullshit finish, but at least it kept the belt on one guy.
Yeah. Did all the other...
I think so, right? Because who won the hardcore match? Was it...
No, Reno retained.
Okay, so he kept... But it's... And the hardcore belt, though, whatever. But, yeah.
If it was WWE, 15 other people would have run down. That was, like, the bad part of WWE at the time, the hardcore title, even though I love it. Very nostalgic for me.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun, but not sustainable.
No. So, and then the entire, like, locker room, not the wrestlers, but all the backstage referees come out, and Steiner's just dropped them with his bat gimmick that he had at the time. He had this, he was carrying around this bat, because he's...
But that was kind of awesome, too. Like, I love that superhero thing where so many people ran down to the ring, and he just took them all out. Yeah, nobody could stop.
He was just dropping people and referees with a bat. With no repercussions. If I went to my job tomorrow and beat everybody up with a bat, pretty sure I would be in jail on Thursday or Wednesday. Anyway, so the huge reveal, Chronic comes down to the ring. Chronic's like, hold up our hands, Goldberg's not cleared to wrestle. And then it cuts to the back, or no, sorry. Yeah, it cuts to the back, and the doctors are just running, yelling, he's cleared, he's cleared. And it's just like, okay, Goldberg is cleared. So we have an elimination handicap match. And it literally was 5 minutes long. Goldberg spears Adam Bomb through a table, pins him. And then Goldberg spears and jackhammers Bryan Adams, crush.
And then, yeah, they cut
to and then black as quick as possible. Immediately. It almost felt like it almost felt like they wanted to give the other matches enough time, and they just popped this one on the end as a storyline continuer. But it was like the worst storyline to continue because it's Goldberg. Of course he was going to come out.
It was bad too, because I remember Chronic was like, they were one of the few teams people were excited about, like when WWF bought WCW, like Chronic was pretty over. But that Chronic themselves are taking part in a handicap match and proud of it, and they're like they're admitting that they are together maybe one Goldberg.
Yeah.
You know?
That's
it made them just look bad.
It's crazy.
And then they lost, which made them look real bad. Like, fuck.
So that was all that was.
Oh shit, and speaking of, Jesus Christ, this whole first hour of Raw is brutal. So this big long fucking Sheamus Roman Reigns match that's been going on for the last 12 minutes is just interrupted because Bray Wyatt.
Yeah, Bray Wyatt's finally come in and put this fucking horror show.
Like, 3 hour Raw just cannot work. It just can't. There's no way to make a good 3 hour Raw. It's too much.
And Roman Reigns just Superman punches him.
Ah, poor Bray. Look at that. He still was holding they didn't even put his lantern down. Roman, be cool.
I feel even more stressed out now that I just witnessed that. Oh, shit. Oh, I thought it was going to be Sting, but no, it's not. Maybe it was an imposter, Bray? Oh, anyway, yeah. Let's wrap this so we can see what the fuck's happening on Raw.
Good idea.
This is, out of a possible 17 bowls of soup, I give this like a 2.
Yeah,
this was the worst of it. Like, I know we said earlier it got bad, but this was the most nothing. But it was Halloween Havoc, and I said it was going to be Halloween Havoc, so... This isn't our last episode.
Yeah, we'll definitely try to do at least one more.
I'm not ending it on this.
So we don't end on this, note. And then we'll go into hibernation for a bit.
Yeah.
While I move away and have an adventure and whatever.
But,
get a drug problem, live on the street. Then I'll come back and be all like, you need to help me get back to my normal life. And I'll do it through wrestling.
Yeah, I'll be the super wrestler and we'll have a giant montage. And
yeah, it'll be like CM Punk and... Joey Mercury.
Yeah.
Like, you'll be my savior guy.
And Luke Gallows.
Can you buy me a house?
Nope.
Oh. Well, we'll see. Let's just say we'll see.
Yeah. Never say never.
Yeah.
But this has been episode 23 of Smarkmania. Thanks for listening. My name is Jason Phillips. You can find me on Twitter at Spotter Here. I've been a lot more active on Twitter lately. So if you make it this far into this episode and want to see what I'm up to, I say a lot of stupid shit on there and it's pretty funny.
I enjoy it. Yeah, and you can get this and our other episodes at KeithCourage.com. WCW, man, gone but not forgotten.
Oh, man, please let me forget.
Now, luckily, Ra will catch us up on what we missed with nonstop recaps throughout the rest of the night. So we're all good.
Excellent.
All right.
All right, goodbye.